All right, I'd like to thank the organizers to make this arrangement to have this opportunity to discuss. I'm almost certain that every single one of us in this room must have thought about the Higgs couplings and even Higgs coupling beyond the standard model at some point. So it's not new, but hopefully we will find something new from beyond what we are thinking about. This was prompted to me by this heap-hype question. So, of course, as I said, we all are thinking to understand Higgs to a better level and see whether this is a standard model-like and maybe even going beyond. That's our real hope. But this question made me think harder. And the question was, what kind of Higgs couplings you want to measure? Think about this a little bit. And then to what precision? But naively, of course, we want to measure every single one of them. We parameterize them easily and into the very convenient formalism, even the one that we heard this morning from Michael as well. And we want to measure them as accurate as possible. The answer seemed to be easy to give. However, I don't think that's what the panel meant. I don't think that's really the relevant, the most accurate question we really want to ask ourselves either. So what we are thinking here actually is whether we can really make use of the Higgs discovery and see where this Higgs discovery leads us to, right? What kind of new physics we're thinking about. I think that's probably the immediately relevant question. Of course, we have to quantify, we even have to define this question a little bit better in a more quantitative way. But I think that the point I want to ask you to discuss with me and maybe provide your comments so that I can understand maybe better is along this line. What kind of new physics we may do. I gave a talk there, and I gave something like a three parts. So first of all, I want to argue how badly we really need new physics beyond standard model, and the discovery of the Higgs is not an end of story, but rather it's really forces us to think even more, and that we heard argument from Nima and so on and so forth. I missed Nima's talk for the naturalist argument last week. But nevertheless, it's based on some possible connection with the Higgs sector. Of course, more directly, we want to look for the new physics associated with Higgs. And in particular, we argue that Higgs should not be a lonely particle there alone, and should have other strongly interacting particles around, like W and Z and top quark, and their partners in order to keep the theory more consistent, or naturalness, and so on and so forth. However, the precision measurements, even now, and also in the near future, maybe even long future, may be the very important direction to give us the indirect search, what we will probably learn along the Higgs interactions. So that's the questions. Unfortunately, we haven't seen anything yet beyond the Higgs, although we really hope the TeV scale, a few hundred GeV scale, should be the region that we expect many other particles to come along. And we haven't seen the light partners such as STOP and GLINOs, and maybe in the T prime in the other exchange theories such as little Higgs and so on and so forth. And in particular, the Higgs partners, Higgs Enos, and so on and so forth. And also the precisely measured mass around 125, 126 GeV-ish for the Higgs mass seem to put many theories in the relatively inconvenient position already. And for example, for supersymmetry, and it seemed to need a very large Suzy split and so on and so forth. And it seemed to be pushing us into the direction that maybe the Higgs sector is not that natural as we thought. Maybe it's rather unnatural. So what do we do with that? Of course, again, we still hope to find the new resonance, the new particles, and so on and so forth. LHC is going to lead us for a long way for that. We are still very much looking forward for that. However, the question comes up whether we should be prepared, and not only be prepared, but also start performing the measurements for the Higgs precision couplings, and also be prepared for the future, maybe many years after LHC. So the question is that if we really don't see the other resonances to make the Higgs sector natural, maybe the only way that forced us to probe new physics associated with the electric symmetry breaking would be from the possible deviation from the standard model Higgs couplings. That would be a very disappointing case, but I think this is a rather sharp question for us to think and to be prepared. Of course, we don't mean to give up other searches, of course. We do that. We don't mean to give up the precision measurements for the standard model couplings now. But I think we should make connection whether the couplings will tell us some more, and what couplings, exactly like the question that Hipep asked, what couplings we really want to, we expect to find something in association with the new physics. So that is the point here. Okay, so of course, so far we can parameterize the standard model couplings according to the standard model form plus a deviation. The deviation, you already parameterized it by this delta. Some theorists and also experimentalists have carried out the fitting process and also to see the accuracy for this the delta. And of course, beyond these tree-level couplings, we have been getting into this very much already, even from the original production as well as the leading decay channel, glu-glu to Higgs and Higgs to gamma-gamma. And this also is very sensitive to the new physics and possibly the deviation from the standard model. So that's about it. And this is one of the examples. Okay, there are many examples already. This is one of them that they use this package called S-fitter to fit with the standard model coupling. So some assumptions. Basically, this is the assumption. Many of the assumptions are very much under standard model. So essentially, this is the standard model assumption. Assume standard model couplings to see the accuracy for the current measurements, and even in the future measurements, the deviation from the standard model formalism. But so far, the accuracy is still rather poor. So it's even the good channels, ZG channel, WW channel, is 20-30%-ish. It may improve, but at some point when the statistics runs out, when the statistic is good, and the systematic will come in too. In the Hadron Collider, you always have some kind of a 10% or so systematic. So at some point, we are going to run into the problems there in terms of the precision. So I could stop here as the initial motivation and to ask you, see what do you think, or I can continue on to give you my examples. At least quite a few, at least five different examples, qualitative examples. But then we can discuss after the examples. And we need about 10 more minutes to go through the examples. Should I go on to list my examples? Okay. So the point is, that if we consider new physics contributions to the standard model Higgs coupling to the standard model particles, we kind of integrate out the heavy state. Otherwise, we'll see the heavy state. We'll be happier. Of course, we'll be happier to see the heavy state. But if we don't see that for either from the mass scale or from the background reasons, but we hope to see what Higgs can tell us. If we integrate out a mass scale around the TeV or so, typically, this the delta, the same delta that we defined there, now has a more specific meaning. So this is essentially the normalized coupling to the standard model minus the standard model value here. And if we integrate out this, typically the new scale is always around the VAF divided by the cutoff. And if the cutoff is around TeV, this is almost like a 1/4 squared. So it's typically 6-7% or so. Roughly speaking, if the coefficients are order of 1, and this is a few percent level, if the new physics is just at the borderline that we haven't seen around TeV region, but not too far away. So I will give you some examples. I give the examples aimed at my early arguments. I want to give you the example at this energy scale at which maybe towards the end of LHC run, we are still having a difficult time to directly see those things yet. Otherwise, again, we are happier to see them directly. But if you don't see that, where is more or less a borderline that we probably still have the hope but barely miss them, but hopefully these things will show up in our precision measurements about Higgs properties. So that is the scale I hope to normalize. Say about 14 TeV center mass energy and 300 inverse fermion barn luminosity and so on and so forth. So that is the examples I want to illustrate a few. So this is another natural stop. Otherwise, I go on for the specific examples. So of course, it's about a Higgs. I'm thinking about all possible from my own view, that new scenarios, new models that may have something to do with the electric circuit breaking and may be very likely to be the companions with Higgs. The most natural one is SUSY or the additional Higgs doublets. So we have a new Higgs particles, but we will look for those particles. But for example, in the SUSY scenario now, if you put all these constraints from the current LIC direct search, exclusions, and also the discovery around 125 GeV, then in this case, if you put this into the normal the mass plot, this is the other Higgs mass curves here versus the MA, there's a band to change the tangent beta and also to fit the current data. So you can see the chart Higgs can go just like this, and other Higgs will like this. And here, this is the 125 GeV Higgs that satisfies these the current measurements. But you can see that here, this is very well known to most of us. And if the MA is around MZ or so, and the lighter one is not standard model-like, the lighter scalar is not standard model-like. Here, this is the 125 GeV guy. The heavier one is standard model-like. In the sense, that coupled to WZ more slightly more strongly. That's where that one contributed to the WAV slightly more to the WZ masses. But this is the one region. Otherwise, this is the so-called how is the famous work the decoupling. So if you put this back into the more common plot here, this is a tangent beta versus MA. Satisfying all the different color codes satisfy different conditions. And eventually, at the very end, you put everything into the consideration. You still have some possible solutions in the low mass region. And most likely, you know, the different colors satisfy different experimental bounds. This purple color satisfy all these Tevatron lab and LIC exclusion, and the black ones satisfy the mass, the light Higgs mass 125 GeV, and these are the final ones satisfy the cross sections. That doesn't change the overall conclusion. Which one? This region?
Yeah.
This region, the most difficult one actually is color is the flavor constraint. So which one exclusion for this largely from the chart Higgs to chart Higgs and A. Total exclude? I think our recent results didn't exclude that either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Scott is here. So I was asking Scott to try. So this part will be interesting for his multiple Higgs production and so on and so forth. Okay, so my real part actually is a decoupling region. But this part was easy to search for and easier to exclude, but not in the near future, even with the current data. After 25 in the picobarn, femtobarn, carefully studied for those channels, you probably can close this region from direct search, from the Higgs pair production very soon already. But anyway, my point is in this region, of course. My point is in this region, so this is the next slide. This is how it's thing. So here is the one. This is the old plot, but the quality of the feature remains. So this is a very nice plot to tell you how many Higgs you can see from different channels. It's very old CMS, quality of the feature remains. So the thing I want to show you is that here, this is the leading discovery channel for the standard model-like to gamma-gamma. Of course, this moves backwards already. But in this region, you only see one Higgs. So somewhere in a very large parameter region, in this region, when MA is large, and away from the lab and away from the possible direct search from Higgs to tau-tau. There's a large reason this is really decoupling. The Higgs is there, not very far. It's a few hundred GeV. But what do we do then? So that is exactly the question we want to answer. If you integrate all these heavy ones, for the gauge bosons, the coupling is high order suppressed. So this is how is the study here. And for the fermions, it's the leading order suppression, and the MA squared. So if you put this into the quantities, and how we in Marcella, at one time they estimate this the change. Turns out if we normalize this, of course, this goes like the MA to the fourth power, as we just commented. The fermions goes like, the correction goes like the heavy scale squared. If you normalize this to 400 GeV and 10 beta equals to 10, that is the region that you probably won't see this very conveniently, right on the borderline. It's not too far completely decoupled. But somewhere in the borderline, it's very difficult to directly search for the tau-tau mode already. In that region, the correction to the TT bar due to the tangent beta is suppressed. But to the BB and T, the down type fermions, it's almost like standard model-like in that case. So these corrections here. It's almost a standard model-like, and the additional correction may be 10%. So this is the more order magnitude for this particular example. You can see this example, the heavy Higgs impact to the standard model Higgs couplings may receive corrections at order of 10%. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry. You should be a co-author there too. Yeah. Sorry. And how we also argued, in fact, that this decoupling behavior exists in the normal two Higgs W model already. Also, but with a slightly more complicated parameters, you have more parameters than the simple one. But the Little Collider report recently appeared estimated some corrections due to this. You can see it's typically, again, for certain tau b, and even for tau quark in the modest tangent beta and region, you indeed may receive order of 10% corrections for this typical scale. So 10% corrections is, 10% corrections are likely from the Higgs sector that the other Higgs particles that beyond the direct search, but may have this impact to the standard model Higgs coupling. So that's one example. So the second example is stop or T prime. You're asking this? This was indicate, this is to say that the down type coupling is proportional to sine alpha over prime. This is down type coupling, this is the up type coupling. I probably didn't dig out the particular assumptions either, but qualitatively, they're saying that the gauge boson couplings are always small, always suppressed than the standard model value because of the sine cosine. But the other ones can have a significant. Hmm? Two cases. I think it's probably type 2 related. I think type 2 type of. It could go to they read this very clearly. I didn't copy the details, but I was thinking about the qualitative order magnitude anyways, yeah. So this is the. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a range of reasonable parameters. That's why this. Is there? You think that's That was much better than that. Definitely. So I said that this MA, those coefficients are normalized to 400 GeV. But 400 GeV was my guess. That was almost borderline Dirac search. It's very, very hard. That's my guess. That's my guess. I thought it was the reason from a previous slides. 400 GeV was where it's difficult to dig out tau and from this the Dirac production. It's my guess. Yeah. All right, so stop corrections to the direct coupling is rather small, but it may have a sizable correction to the loop one. So then, so is the other colored charged states. So again, the stop correction is relatively small, but the additional color states, just like the little Higgs, the T, may receive sizable correction even at the 1 TeV scale for this heavy mass. So this is the little Higgs example, and Heather and Lian Tao and we estimated a few years ago. So you can see in this particular case, the sign is a generic. That is negative sign is a generic because by design that this T prime support cancels the leading order corrections to make this natural. So that is the Higgs partner, but a composite Higgs cycle may receive the largest correction because it's typically the strong interacting. So most of the corrections, almost universal, is like a V square over F square. And this is some early argument from the composite model. They estimated is around a few percent. And there was another arguments by the Giudice collaborators, and in was involved with Ratazzi. To call this the strongly interacting light Higgs, and they kind of formulate some generic couplings, and the corrections are universal not only for these two, but as well as for the other possible loop corrections. Typically 6% between 10% or 5% level as well. So this is almost universal. Though you can see some patterns here already. If you see certain enhancements in certain channels, it doesn't mean that you have universal couplings to other channels. But this one is due to the strongly interacting. It's almost universal. All the couplings receive some generic expansion. So that's what about it. So the Suzy particles are typically the small. And if you try the Chardinos and things like that, it's just due to the Suzy correction, it's relatively small. May have some percentage at the loop level, otherwise it's rather small. You can calculate this numerically from the packages and the Carlos and the company have this, yeah. I only tried the new particle. I only put in the new particle to estimate.
The question is is it possible that one dominates the other in general, or do you have a field?
No. I didn't think about that carefully. I was just put a heavy particle there to estimate the size. I even didn't calculate all of them, kind of all the magnitude estimate. Yeah, I did not consider the subtlety for the specific construction and even model. No, I didn't. I didn't do a very careful estimate. It was an order of magnitude. I made multiple numbers actually. I either took from somewhere, I estimate and made up myself. Okay. So basically, most of the order of magnitude is probably okay. Precise value, I made them up. So it's like that. It's not sophisticated at all. Because I think the first time for me to think about this question specifically, where is more or less borderline at LSE, we may not see the resonance, but this resonance may have some impact on the Higgs coupling. That's the first time I estimate those things. That's why I want to ask people's opinion here. So SUSY is generically weak coupled. Correction seem to be rather small. His self-coupling, this is also interesting thing here too. So I asked him, Michael today that I still think it's most sensible to start from linear realization. Otherwise, you give up the Higgs to be a doublet. That's a little bit, I think generically you are fine. Is Michael here somewhere? Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. It's fine. I don't mean that's not right, but we don't put Higgs into a doublet. Nima said so. Nima said it's a Higgs part of a doublet. Yeah. So, it's okay. But I think you have a lot of relations. You have a fewer couplings and you have relations because you put Higgs into a doublet. So that's fine. Let's do dimension six operators. And these two operators do not receive a large constraints, significant constraints from the ITU parameters. So there are other ones to change this one. And if you normalize this property and you change this triple coupling and quartic coupling in such a way, this is standard model, and this is the A. A is just defined to be this one plus a coefficient. We don't know the coefficient. Coefficient, maybe it's up to you, a weakly coupled order of one and or four pi squared, so on. So it's a dimensional analysis. So this is order of one coupling here. And this is A, basically. This is scale. This is A. It's very interesting to notice here, though. It's very interesting to notice that if you make the corrections to the standard model coupling, and the second term, this term has a simple correction to the triple and quartic, but these are the A1 parameter. I think Inlow and Judice's formula, they call this OH, call this the CH. This is the CH, operator. That has an energy dependence. Nobody took that into account. If you make this, that's why I'm asking, it's coming back to this question. You need to write a gating environment form. If you write a gating environment form to begin with, you have a derivative dependence. This is an energy dependent term. And that term never appeared for the current fitting. The current fitting is just called the delta, only things like this. But this is a consistent formalism. I told Tillman and the company, even when they wrote this. Another thing is that these couplings are related to the W and Z longitudinal components as well. They're related. You cannot simply change the Higgs without the, some correlation with other physics. The W coupling is accordingly modified if you do this properly right. Okay. So if you measure these WW and the ZZ Higgs coupling to the good accuracy, you should double check the consistency in the future if you do measure the triple Higgs. Or something. They are related. It's just no completely arbitrary parameter. But if you do your way, though, everything is completely, I think everything probably is arbitrary.
What do you want to assume?
Yeah.
The big machines
underneath the ground, I think it's okay to fit that way, but this one has additional symmetry built in if you assume the Higgs is a doublet, is from a doublet. Yeah. So then, this tells you the relationship. But of course, if you are fitting the efficient, eventually you probably come back something similar to this one too. But anyway, so that's. But here, my point is that the coupling should be treated properly. Then the current fitting, like Tillman company did this a long time ago, and we told them this is not necessarily the most productive way. They make the couplings, triple coupling, quarter coupling, completely arbitrary. They are relations, and they have relations to the WW Higgs, the ZZ Higgs coupling as well. I think that's the consistent way people should try. So this is part of the questions, and what coupling we need to do, how we can do this. Fitting the standard model precision, that's fine. Everybody's fine. They are fine. You're fine. Everybody's fine. Just fitting the standard model precision. You give me the bound, the standard model is working to satisfy accuracy. Everything's fine. But if you find deviation to interpret this with the new physics, you should have the consistent picture like this and with a particular model and something. Otherwise, you don't have interpretation. Okay. So that's the difference. That's exactly where it comes in. You are right. Yeah, you are right. That's exactly, you shift the Higgs into the canonically normalized field. That's exactly where it comes in. You are right. That's exactly where it comes in. Otherwise, naively, you don't see this operator to come into W, but this is where exactly the energy dependence comes in, and the wave function shifting comes in. That's exactly where it comes from. Otherwise, you are working with a not canonically organized, canonically normalized Higgs field. So that's exactly what you're right. Okay, that's about it, all my five examples. So from those examples, I think the argument goes like we need to measure the couplings, all of them, at a few percent level. But the measurements will tell you, and possibly, well, if we find anything different from the standard model coupling, that the deviation probably will tell you which direction the underlying physics is. For example, the composite dynamics will give you universal coupling for all of these. And the Higgs vector probably give you enhanced coupling for one particular fermions due to the sine alpha, cosine beta, and reverse. And the new charge states will come into these things. So we need to measure all of them, but the different deviations will lead you to some different directions for the possible underlying dynamics. They're all beyond, I estimate all. I estimate, yeah. These examples, all the examples. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the TEV, for example, the TEV stop. TEV stop will be very much borderline, is that right? TEV scale, TEV stop, it's borderline. Yeah, probably so, yeah, depends on what to do. But
TEV.
Yeah, if there are other, yeah, if you have W prime. I think except you are the composite model, if you have other W prime, Z prime, and other things. Well, you can scale this differently then. Lienthal is saying that I should not have normalized this to one T. This is I think this is all marginally right. This F is if F is one TeV, this is where this the Dirac search. I was claiming that I normalized them to the region that LHC is marginally difficult to observe, but he's saying that sometimes like this, you may see this directly. Right? It might. No. I don't want to say that's a complete out of reach. Out of reach is no. I skipped quite a lot of introductory part. The very first slide I said by all these Cheney type arguments, standard model heat can be valid theory all the way. It's not the point I want to argue. I want to argue that we still hope to have some new physics at a corner. But so somehow we did not see them directly from the LHC direct measurements. We would hope to see them from the Higgs coupling. Higgs is the only thing we know. Beyond the precision measurements, Higgs is the only thing we know. And what deviation we may be able to see, what direction it is telling us the underlying physics, right? Borderline with LHC discovery. That was the reason I would argue. Okay, so now I was trying to summarize what we need. So we need about a few percent accuracy. And we probably need about a 10% understanding for the invisible. That the 10% argument, I also skip my slides. That 10%, my estimate is close to the xenon type of region. So the Higgs and Higgs xeno. Well, I'm thinking the Higgs xeno. So the xenon exclusion basically remove all these normal gauge boson and gauge xeno interaction part by many order of magnitude. But now the xenon direct search goes down to 10 to the minus 46, 7, 8 in that region. That is where these the Higgs xeno and Higgs type of interactions are playing a role. So I'm saying that if you really think that Higgs xeno type of things are responsible for these things eventually you find, and the invisible mode, maybe the light neutrinos or something that comes from Higgs, and you need about a 10% accuracy or better to have a direct match with direct search. That's, again, that's an estimate and make up. Okay. So that's it. Okay. And finally, the total width. Total width measurement is also critical to see whether you miss anything, just like the Z width. And the width is a lot more important than mass. with really tells you the interactions. C with told us a lot of new physics. Even the JSI with, even JSI was so hard to measure. Well, then you immediately know what this particle behaves more or less. So that was about it. So just to give you this, I have to comment on this anyway. So where do we get this if we don't directly see? LHC is unfortunately limited to a 10% level, both from the direct measurements, also from the theoretical systematics. It's about 10% level also. Good channels may be slightly better, but generically it's really at the 10% level. And there's even no complete model independent measurement. We always assume the standard model and see the deviations. If you completely give up this assumption, that's not standard model, arbitrary, including arbitrary fraction of missing channels and unobservable channels. You only measure this combination. You have no information for partial width, any dimension for measurement, no, none. No any dimension for measurement for total and partial. Only under assumption you standard model like, that's okay.
So this even assumes that you somehow could understand the
vector boson fusion? Any channels, all these combinations. You can change this to compensate the other change. You can always change them accordingly, not scale like a factor, but even addition, even additive. You can throw additive additional terms like a missing energy channel and an observable channel like H to AA, H to little AA, and somehow this buried Chaba company was making this up. So if you really make this most general assumption, you don't measure any dimension for coupling, the dimension for width for the Higgs. Bound, you can have a bond. You can have bond. You can have some bond. And sometimes you also need assumptions. Like the recent ones, like Dobrescu and Joe and the company, they need assumptions. They, for example, they say the coupling to WW cannot be much bigger than the standard model. Because, sure, so if you have sine, cosine, it's bigger, smaller, but you can see not much bigger. Than, sure, if you have this bond, then you can translate a lot of bonds. That's fine. But the direct measurements, you still cannot do. So well, that's life. But the reason Linux can recover that is you can look at this Higgs decay inclusively. So the Higgs can go anywhere you reconstruct bump. You reconstruct the Higgs bump and by the recoil mass. So then you can measure this absolute scale. Then you can get absolute gamma ZZ. So that's the only reason you can do better. And then once you have that one, all the other ratios can be, you can even deduce the total width from this to some good accuracy there. But the muon collider, of course, has a slightly different measurements, its profile. You can fit the profile for the width. That's a direct measurement for the width. So that's about it.
Model independent, that's measuring the recoil, that's what you have in mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly the one. Yes, yes. Don't ask that question again, okay, Carlos? Yeah, don't ask that question again. He said we haven't observed the Higgs to mu mu yet. Do we know whether we can produce Higgs from mu mu? That's a bad joke, Carlos. We know Charles Lampton Universality long time ago. Yeah. Not universality. Okay, Higgs breaks the universality anyway. But anyway, so I have a few slides, but I think I should skip. But the non-standard couplings will be interesting to watch out. It may be very rewarding. It's not our standard thing. For example, possible admixture of CP states, and this is very really cool measurements. And Jack, is Jack here? Oh, Jack, good. So I didn't forget to put your slides here. Yeah. And Jack proposed a long time ago that WW, we know that, I joke that people testing this discovery is a pseudo-scalar, and I said, we know that's not pseudo-scalar. Pseudo-scalar doesn't give you the mass, okay? So it's not there anyway. But in the TT Higgs coupling, you just, that the coupling can be large. Violation, CP violation can be large. Who knows, maybe 100%. So if you really want to hope find a CP violation in the Higgs sector, fermionic sector probably has much better chance, okay? So that's that you should watch out. Finally, the flavor. Flavor is a big issue. The flavor is the little hierarchy problem always haunt us for the flavor. Hopefully, the Higgs will tell us something, right? So it's why that's all minimal flavor violation. It's unbelievable we are pushed to this corner. Maybe the Higgs will do something at some some level that with the flavor changing. So there was a recent paper by Rani and company and Yuri company. They systematically studied the LHC reach. But we pointed this out a long time ago just due to the large neutrino mixing. You know, the third, the theta 2-3 almost maximum neutrino mixing, just from that, it may have some translation to the chart electron sector. Anyway, so those are the ones. So now the CTEC, the HPAP question is, what couplings we should measure and to what precision? I tried my best to see what couplings we want to measure because of what kind of new physics we hope to see. So that's, I hope that you can tell me what you think, what couplings we need to measure, what accuracy, and why. So that's, I think it's not only timely that we are going to measure those couplings to better accuracy and continuous, but it's going to have a long-term impact, both for by the end of LHC and for our planning. I think that's probably very relevant to the snow mass discussions as well. Marty?
In there, we looked at all 68, assuming SU2 crush U1 is valid.
Yep.
We looked at all 68 dimensions 6.
I remember that paper. I remember that. Yes,
and
yeah.
We cataloged every one as to whether they could come in at the tree level,
yeah.
in another theory,
yeah.
or only at the loop level.
So that's kind of what is the most convenient formulation when you write down the operator and then match to the underlying theory. Yeah. When you mentioned this, I remember that that early work now. Yeah. Yeah. Michael. I didn't see. I said 10%. Oh, I said 10%.
Yeah. So I think that will do a lot better on that.
No, this is the. I said 10%. The 20% was the 20% even the. 10 years ago, and Heather and I, and we even estimate 20% accuracy already.
Yeah, but I think
Heather
and
invisible. Yeah, the Heather and I and Human three of us wrote this the paper to include both the Buchan process and the gate boson fusion. It was the first one to put everything together. We estimated the 20% accuracy is achievable.
Yeah, again,
right?
That's a kinematic search, is what I'm saying. And that's good, that's all right. What I'm saying, though, is I think you would first get evidence of it after showing up, although you wouldn't have to confirm discovery of it.
Mm-hmm.
By the universal effect it has on everything else. Right? And that's a lot more sensitive because you're just having a universal shift upon the properties of all public things we're measuring. So you win by spirit of n combining channels, one over spirit of n or cubes of error. And that's why the current bound is already at 20%. Unless you want to do things that cancel off effects by having a glue cake.
I was just going to say, yeah, that approach, of course, is perfectly valid. There's a lot of assumptions about other things that
way, which wouldn't necessarily have something to do with some new colored state.
So what is the assumption that comes into this bound for the invisible channel?
So what I just said was you're just fitting, that just adding that as a parameter is general. So you're not tuning up some new contribution to blue things to cancel off.
You're saying all the other
That's right. That's the assumption. That's the assumption. That's the assumption. So are there other striking I probably would not tell you the total Higgs.
Is there any argument that says one is a better program than the other?
I think you Michael will probably be here in a few days. Yeah, that's to me that's obvious. But to me, I think it's obvious. Higgs factory is going to. Do that for sure.
Well, that's just for wave corrections. I mean, the frequency does one of the wave corrections.
Standards are not moving very curvy. Because they all, you know.
So, do we need to measure these to 10% level? Can we argue? I think. But I mean, from measurements, from the measurements, we can push to a certain level like 10%. I think there's probably time to push a systematic approach and get ready to hopefully to see deviations. Right? So not only just a bound, you won't get too much credit just putting bound. You want to find deviation and identify that. I hope to make this not a long-term issue. It is a long-term issue, but I hope to make this so that even now we can try to for certain good channels like Z channel or something you can try gold way. So I guess it still sounds like a future issue that of course you need to see what the LIC tells us for the real particle production discovery. And then you can find you have a better idea. That's true. But I think it's
tree-level coupling, at what point do you run into barriers where just ordinary regular corrections begin to compete?
That's true. I'm not sure they, Tom, I'm not sure they could include that. So this channel is okay. The channel we are saying, this channel is very well understood. That's eventually maybe that's okay. But that's true that for the current ILC estimates, they claim they can do better than 5% for most of the measurements. And I don't think that's those comparison really have taken into account the relative corrections. Eventually they can. Yeah, I think it's probably okay. That if you need, if you find a need, you probably will do that. Yeah.
Maybe include the other leading water correction.
You think so? Okay. Okay, that's possible. I didn't think they would. But it would, again, I think that's right. When people realize the importance, that can be done. Yeah, yeah. Are there other striking? Are there other striking theories or particles that could have a significant, very significant characteristic corrections to the Higgs coupling that people missed, I missed or something?
Well, in terms of just one example, I mean, in the precision electro weak gain, for instance, if you had just done one loop corrections, you would not get good fits. I mean, there are certain two loop corrections that are known to actually play a significant role in establishing the precision.
But colliders would be
Carlos.
So what do
that's basically what I said, the last slide. No, they didn't they deliberately told me not to say anything about future projects. They said you only argue about your theory and your need from a theoretic viewpoint. But I did show that slide. I did show that. I said, that's why I made this very mild. I said a word of expectation. I made this very mild. I did not. This is what I. This is exactly the slide I showed. I said, well, you know, I have to give you a gauge, roughly. Yeah, that was the summary, this slide. Better than 10%. 10%, 10% is not accurate. No, I gave you the example of everyone, right? So pretty much every.
Of course, as you can hear,
This is for sure.
Well, that's why I think
this is for sure.
1% instead of a few percent.
Yeah.
Here is all we should say
1%. Stand up and say it. Next time.
That's the slide that Michael sent me. I didn't put in.
Michael will say that
in his talk. Yeah.
But when you have case studies where you can see what 1% buys you, and I think you should show it explicitly. 1% gives you this in these five
cases. Especially if you're going to make a discovery claim. I mean, you need to say 5% to be assuming you can
make 1%. Yeah, that's another issue, which is the issue of what it takes to make a 5 sigma result.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the variation. So, it's the fact that we can still do direct things, right? An A of 1 dB might be probably direct with a latency of 300 or even a high luminosity of latency. So, here the question is an A of 1 dB.
500, yeah, it depends on time data. But roughly, even 500 GeV, you cannot see that already. 500 GeV, you are almost out of tau mode already. Yeah. A is very low. Pair is out. Pair production is completely out. The single production is. The only thing, Lianhao, I think that your remark was right, probably the composite. Because I didn't expect, well, of course, you have many other states, Z prime, W prime, and T, and the first fermions. So that's probably need more careful quantification, but I simply scaled it to 1 TeV. That part probably is it. The other few. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be very tough if we don't see other resonance at the accuracy.
But I mean, coming back to the error, I think this is really important because, you know, suppose that you end up getting a 10% measurement of, I don't know how you do this at the LHC, but so imagine you get an HPV bar. But even if you could, what sort of error do you think is going to be on? So if you have a 10% enhancement, you know, to really claim in 5 sigma that you have a deviation from the standard model, I think you're completely out of the ballgame.
Yeah.
So I think one has to say a little bit more than we want decisions here. You want to say what you can see in 5 sigma. Right?
But this statement almost states that LHC is inadequate for the precision measurement. That's basically it.
Yeah,
even you say a few percent, not necessarily say 1%. Even you don't need to say 1%. This is LHC is very, very hard to read generically to the table. Certain channel may be okay. Z, for example, H to ZZ, you may have a better chance to reach this better than 10% level. But generically, no. So that's a few percent is not adequate. That's basically what we're trying to say. But I try to avoid the direct statement, directly connect to any machine. So it was, this is essentially LHC is out of the precision game. But discovery, we still hope.
Yeah, because right now, I mean, even the gamma, supposedly 1.8 plus or minus 0.4, and that's a long way away from 5 sigma. Now, it's the early
peanut gallery. They brought up this this issue. I think was interesting. But I think it's a very very initial. It's very initial stage. But it's good for them to be in the game. That's all I can say. If they start talking about it, I think it's very very positive. But realistically, I don't know. They are trying to hold a workshop or something. So apparently there are people thinking to move forward. So that's all I can say. The Chinese proposal for the huge circular ring, very low magnetic field, so e plus minus. No. It's very very large. They want to do this 80 kilometers.
80-kilometer ring.
Right. They was very initial, very initial. Eventually, they hope to do, but for the moment, the goal is for a Higgs factory. The goal is to have a very low magnetic field. I think that's the reason. I think it's much better than before. Is that that's something they can do, because they have this E plus minus machine with more or less a similar parameter region. They succeeded. But the linear collider, no way. They have no way to do that at all. Even with the help, I don't think they can do that. They are just technically just incapable. If you run this way and you see the energy dependence, higher energy actually helps a lot to do the triple coupling, quadruple coupling as well. The WW fusion process is very significantly enhanced by a lot. The triple and quadruple coupling, I think LHC has very little chance. The LHC will have very little chance to do the triple quadruple. Yeah. Yeah, so thank you. Thank you.